Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome again to ID the Future. This is Joshua Youngkin for the Discovery Institute. Today we'll be discussing academic freedom with President of the Discovery Institute, Bruce Chapman. Bruce, thanks for being with me.
That's a pleasure.
Now, Bruce, there's been some news recently in this area of law of interest, perhaps, to our listeners. Would you mind saying a few words about that?
Not at all. The California Science Center, which is a state-run institution, a museum, very much like a university in this sense, had agreed to show the film Darwin's Dilemma, which is a documentary film that promotes intelligent design and is critical of Darwin's theory. This film was sponsored by a group called the American Freedom Alliance, but then at the last minute, the California Science Center, perhaps under pressure, decided to cancel the event. And today, what's happened in recent days is that they have realized, as they went into a court case, that they might not win that on First Amendment grounds, and they have agreed to pay $110,000 to settle the suit. I think it's a big First Amendment victory. It's also a big victory for people who think that the Darwinists in the science establishment have tried to bully people who didn't agree with them in the sciences. And that even has gone to the extent of trying to ban speakers from public forums such as university campuses and, in this case, the California Science Center. Well, the taxpayers pay money, and the taxpayers are taxed regardless of their views. And when the government gets involved, it can't ban certain viewpoints from being heard on public policy issues, or in this case, on scientific issues that have public policy implications. So this is a big victory.
That's good insight. Now, not everyone listening may understand the significance or what exactly viewpoint discrimination is, but can you say what amounts to viewpoint discrimination in your view?
I think we all have come to realize that one of the determinative issues, the defining issues of our time, is materialist science versus a more traditional understanding of human nature and human beings. And the materialist science says that matter is all there is, and if you can't see it or test it, it doesn't exist. And, of course, critics of that in the sciences are saying that's not the case. There are many more things going on than traditional science establishment has been alert to. This doesn't mean you have to get into religion or anything like that, but it does say that the science of a Darwinian sort is very limited. Anyway, that's a big debate, and there are scientists on both sides, more scientists, of course, on the Darwinian side. But what's happening is that when they can't win the argument in a debate or an honest airing in public, some of the people, the Darwinists in the science establishment, just try to shut down opposition. And of course, we're seeing this in other fields. It's not just in this one. That's why I say it's a viewpoint. There's an overriding viewpoint in society that says that when there is a consensus of the elite opinion, it rules. This is whether it's climate science, global warming, or what have you, or medicine, embryonic stem cell research, and a whole number of fields. The attitude among some people who are well-funded, usually using public money, is that they can shut out, shut down, shut up people they don't agree with. So this settlement of a case in California by the California Science Center is a real victory for free speech and for free intellectual inquiry. I really want to salute Bill Becker of the Becker Law Firm. They were crucially involved in this. They were supported by the Rutherford Institute, which is a public interest group. And, of course, we're very much concerned about it at Discovery Institute because we've seen these battles go on in various places and various guises around the country. But I think the key thing for people to understand is that today, as a result of this decision by the California Science Center to settle out of court, that the doors of universities and of science centers, if they get any public money, had better be open to people of contrasting views. That's the American way. That's what the First Amendment means.
And allowing other views isn't just important from a constitutional standpoint. Dissent has also been crucial for the advancement of science, hasn't it?
That's a very good question, and I don't have a very quick answer for it. If it weren't for Ignaz Semmelweis in Vienna, we wouldn't know why women were dying in childbirth so often in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And when he figured it out, it was a sanitation issue. It was right before germ theory. Mm. The result was that the predominant majority, the establishment, were so incensed that he was trying to tell them how to do their work in the medical field, mm-hmm. that they banned him, they banished him. And it was years later, after many deaths, many, many needless more deaths, mm-hmm. that some Germans figured it out, and we changed the course of medical history. But there's just one example. There's the discovery of pellagra and the cause of pellagra in the South was another case. Pellagra was a dangerous disease. We now know it has to do with bad nutrition. But people didn't know that until a man, I think his name was Goldberger from Washington, D.C., went down into Alabama and demonstrated it. People didn't want to hear this. Some people had investment in different attitudes and different ideas, so they tried to ban him, and they did. They kicked him out. They got him out of the state, and of course, he was proven right. They were proven wrong. I mean, there's so many cases. In fact, you almost might say that science is almost never advanced based on consensus. It's almost always advanced because somebody somewhere took a chance, took a risk, put his reputation on the line, and took a different point of view. Now, as members of the public, what's our stake? Our stake is we want to hear the dissidents. We want to know what the mavericks think. They're not always right. In fact, I think most of the time mavericks and dissidents are wrong. Well, let that sort out in the free marketplace of ideas. We don't do it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. We don't say one soap product is better than another, so we're going to ban all our soap products forever, or one computer is better than another, so it has the imprimatur of the technology community, so we're going to ban new products in this field. No, we allow competition. The competition in science needs to be serious, too. And right now, we're getting a dangerous movement in America to shut down dissent in science. And it is viewpoint connected. It's philosophical, not really scientific at all. And the American public need to stand up and oppose it. Fortunately, we have something called the First Amendment that not only protects speech in political life or in other areas of life, but also in the sciences.
Very good. Thank you, Bruce. Good bit there about iron sharpening iron and why we need the minority viewpoint. Again, this has been Joshua Youngkin for the Idea of the Future podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Idea of the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.ideofthefuture.com.